Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. If you are listening, it's 10 o'clock, and you're probably thinking, where's the Bible study? Why is Faith and Family on right now? Faith and Family has moved to 10 o'clock this week and from now on, and the Bible study moved to 11 o'clock. And some great things coming up with the Bible study. So, and great things with Faith and Family. We've got a great conversation lined up for today. Have you, or maybe your kids thinking about a study abroad program? What value is there in it? Is it affordable? What are the options? How does it impact your worldview? And could a study abroad program impact you later on in life? Is it useful in terms of job skills and your vocation? So we're going to talk about that today with our friends from Concordia University, Wisconsin. And I always want to say thanks to Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, just go to our website, kfuo.org. Look for the sponsor section. There you'll find the CUW logo in the sponsor section. Click on that. That'll take you to their page. You can find out about the programs they offer. And today we're going to talk about study abroad with Concordia University, Wisconsin, and all the things. Where Concordia University, Wisconsin is located, go check it out. kfuo.org. Look for the sponsor section, the CUW logo there. Well, joining us by phone today, Amy Brown is the Director of Graduate Teaching and Learning at Concordia University, Wisconsin, and a former study abroad student, not as a college student, but as a high school student. So we're gonna talk with her about that. Good morning, Amy. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm great.
Well, tell us, how are things in Mequon this morning?
Well, they are great. We've got some conferences going on. I think it's the Higher Things Youth Conference is going on. Mm-hmm. Weather is beautiful. And I'm happy to be here.
Wonderful. And you serve in the Office of Graduate Teaching and Learning as the Director of Graduate Teaching and Learning. That's a program for those who are serving as teachers or want to serve as teachers, correct?
Correct. Yep. It's a master's program to get kind of a general Master of Science in Education degree. I kind of like to call it the Choose Your Own program. We do have 18 required credits, and then students take an additional 15 graduate credits as electives, so they can really kind of find their niche in what they want to take. Besides the teaching and learning program, we have other graduate programs too, education administration, mm-hmm. literacy, counseling, and a few other programs as well. But teaching and learning is one of those, and I'm happy to be the director of it.
And I want to talk about your education. Well, you've been a Lutheran teacher for some time now, and now you're serving in the graduate teaching and learning
yep.
program there. Prior to your work at Concordia, you served as a Lutheran teacher for a while. Tell us about that experience.
Well, I graduated from Concordia University, Wisconsin with my undergrad bachelor's degree in 1996, and God took me on a kind of a whirlwind tour all over this country to be a Lutheran teacher. I began my career in Waterloo, Iowa, and I was there for a couple years. Then I was in Little Antigo, Wisconsin, in northern Wisconsin. I was there for 4 years. Then, big leap of faith, I headed out to Long Island, New York, and was just there for a year. Then I was in Tampa, Florida for 3, and then I was in Hyattsville, Maryland, right outside of Washington, D.C. for 2 years. And then I found my way back to Concordia, and which feels like home, and I've now been there for the past 6 years.
Wonderful. So you've had quite a bit of experience as a Lutheran teacher, but let's go back further in your education. You said you graduated from Concordia University, Wisconsin, but I want to talk about your high school education, your high school experience. I know from where our paths have crossed when we were both serving in Florida,
yep.
and hearing about your experience studying abroad. Tell us about that experience. You were a high school student and you had the opportunity to study abroad, correct?
I did. Yep. I had the opportunity to spend my entire junior year of high school in beautiful Australia. And kind of how that came about, as a high school student, I attended Marinette High School in Marinette, Wisconsin, which is right on the UP border. And my principal of my high school was the current city's Rotary president. And he had gotten a bunch of us together, a bunch of students who he kind of thought maybe had the potential or the drive strive to maybe do something crazy like live abroad for a year. That was my sophomore year. I was only 15 years old when I was kind of called into this meeting, and the opportunity was kind of presented to me as a possibility, not as a given. It was something I obviously, as a 15-year-old, had never really thought about much before. And, you know, I took the information home to my parents, and my parents at first said, "No way. this is not going to happen. We are not sending our, I would be 16 at the time, you know, across mm-hmm. the world to who knows where by yourself. No, this is not going to happen." And, you know, I was disappointed, but it was such a strange thing for me anyway, because I had never really thought about it before. But kind of in your rebellious teenage years, I kind of put my foot down and said, "But why not? I don't understand why. What a great opportunity this would be." And a few weeks went by, and deadline was coming to kind of even show your interest in the program. And finally, both the day before, my mom said, "Do you really, really want to pursue this?" And I said, "I think so."
Had you traveled? At that point in your life, had you traveled much?
No, I had never even been on a plane up until that point. So, you know, my family had taken summer vacations, but mostly just in the Midwest, you know, traveling
sure.
by car. Yeah, I'd never been on a train or a plane or anything else. So I handed in the things to my high school, and about a week or so later, found myself going through for a 15-year-old, a pretty extensive interview process. The night of my interview for this, I was placed in a room with 10 adults, people from the community, Rotarians, educators, literally kind of, it was very intimidating because the table was set as a V, five people at one table, five at the other, and then one sole chair in the middle.
That is intense.
Yeah, kind of intense. I mean, I had never even gone through a job interview before up to this point, so pretty intense, but went through that process, and apparently I must have said some good things during my interview. Because later that night, in fact, at 10 o'clock that night, I received a phone call saying that I was going to be given one of the chosen spots for the following school year. And this was in October of my sophomore year that this whole interview process had happened, and I wasn't going to leave until the following August. So,
and this was in a time when really internet hasn't, you know, the communication, global communication, you know, and social media and things like that
right.
had not taken off yet. So,
right. Yeah, this was, so my year abroad was the 1990-1991 school year. So no communication, you know, besides placing telephone calls, mm-hmm. you know, at to the tune of about $1 or $1.50 a minute.
Wow.
Or sending, you know, snail mail, which either way took 2 weeks.
Wow. That
was communication. And so, again, you know, I'm thinking back from my parents' perspective. Wow. While it was a leap of faith for me to do it, it was a leap of faith for them to let me do it.
Absolutely.
Because to not be able, like today, to text or cell mm-hmm. phone away or Skype or anything like that, to be on the other side of the world and not necessarily reachable in the moment, it's hard to imagine that time anymore.
Sure.
But I'm so blessed and thankful that they gave me the opportunity to be able to do that.
So your parents reluctantly agreed to this.
They did. reluctantly agreed. Again, of course, they came over to seeing that this was a good thing. But, you know, it's scary. I'm the firstborn. Again, we hadn't traveled much as a family. So this was kind of a big deal. And when I signed up for the process, I didn't know I was going to Australia. That's the other thing. Once I was chosen, and you go through these pretty intensive, like, orientation weekends to kind of prepare yourself to go. And at the first one that my mom went with me, To it, it was required that at least one parent attend. One of the things that we had to do was we were given a list of 34 countries that we had to rank in order of 1 through 34 of where we would like to go. And it was no guarantee that you were going to get your first choice, let alone in your top 10. Australia was my first choice. And I put in a lot of European countries and South American countries and things like that. I very distinctly remember my last choice was Pakistan. That was number 34.
Why was Australia your first choice? What was it that drew you to Australia?
You know, I as a young child, I just kind of always had a fascination about that country. And I guess, you know, as a little girl, it was, oh, kangaroos and koalas, and they're so cute. And but I don't know, just something about that country just kind of always drew me to it. I didn't choose it. This is a question I get asked a lot. Did you choose it because it's an English-speaking country? And the answer to that is no, I didn't. Actually, at that time, I was in my third year of Spanish. So my Spanish teacher actually was a little upset with me that I didn't choose all Spanish-speaking countries as my first choice. And they were in that list. They were definitely up in the top 10. But yeah, there was just something about Australia that just really drew me to it, and I really, it was the place I could see myself, but again, I kind of had to leave it in God's hands.
Sure.
And the hands of the committee members to decide, you know, where I was going to go. And once you get into the process, there is a little bit of money that's invested prior to you finding out what country you get, and so if you don't get the country that you want, there's no exchanges. I mean, people could drop out of the experience, but there isn't, okay, we'll give you, you know, we'll give you a different choice. What you get is what you get. So you had to go in with the eyes very wide open for that. But
So Australia was where you were assigned. And then you got the news that you're going to Australia. You'd gone through some orientation.
Yep. I didn't find out that news until that January. So the process had started in October, and it wasn't until January actually that I found out it was Australia. And that's kind of a story in and of itself. I found out on my 16th birthday. That was the day I found out I was going to Australia. And it just happens to be that my birthday is on Australia Day, kind of like their 4th of July. So really, it was meant to be. It was all meant to be.
Wow.
That was the day that I found out. And I knew fully that it was Australia Day because, again, I was so invested in hoping and praying and wishing that that's where I would get to go.
And how did your parents react when you found out that you were going to Australia?
They were pretty excited, actually. I think there were some other countries that they might have been a little bit more, with a little more trepidation to send me to.
Sure.
They felt pretty comfortable with that choice that I had made, that, you know, I had wanted to go there, but that ultimately the Rotary Committee had also given to me. So, yeah, they were, by that time, honestly, they were pretty excited. I mean, nervous. I was nervous too, but pretty excited.
So tell us about the preparations and then making that transition.
Well, lots of preparations, obviously. So I finished off my sophomore year of high school. It was very kind of very strange to realize, you know, as I was kind of finishing off that school year, that I wasn't going to be around the next year, but that I would eventually be returning for my senior year. Really strange with strange and good with my high school friends that I had to, some of them just couldn't understand. They're like, why are you going to go away for this year? You know, you're going to miss prom. You're going to miss all of these, you know, different things that were coming up. And, you know, again, it was just faith. I'm like, I know, but that's okay. Somehow in my 16-year-old self, I knew that it was the right thing to do. I mean, I had a lot of moments of second guessing myself, but I just felt really confident. So it was that August then that I left, kind of mid-August, so before the school year would have even started for my high school back home, is when I made the trek to Australia. And I wasn't alone on the plane, and again, my first plane experience. I was traveling with other American students who were also going for their exchange year to Australia. And at points along the way, at layover airports, we had members of Rotary clubs, Rotarians, who would meet us along the way to kind of guide us to where we were going.
Which, yeah.
Again, very helpful, especially for someone who has never flown. And now my flying experience was a 30-hour experience from point A to point B. So... very grateful.
And that's, again, that's, you know, before the days of texting and things like that. So,
right.
Yeah.
You, I mean, really, you are just hoping and praying that those people, that a group of people are going to be there on the other end at each point along the way, as you are told they are. And, you know, I can imagine for my parents what a tense time that must have been, those 30 hours. Mm. I mean, I was going through a multitude of emotions, but it was a blackout. They had no communication with me. It was finally when I was picked up from the airport and got to my first host family's house that I was able to call them and say, I'm here, I'm safe, it's good, you know, all is well. But, I mean, that's a long time for them to have no idea, you know, mm-hmm. where in the world I am. So.
Wow.
Yep.
So a leap of faith for you, for your parents, you fly to Australia. Now, what city were you staying in Australia?
I stayed in Adelaide,
in
southern Australia, mm-hmm. which just happens to kind of be the Lutheran capital of Australia. Again, God's hand was in this all along this journey. I really feel that because, yeah, once you find out your country you're going to, you are assigned a city. And that I didn't find out until, boy, I want to say like April. So just a few months before I actually left. So, yeah, that's where I ended up being, in kind of the suburbs of Adelaide.
Sure. And this is about, this is probably what, midwinter then, if it's January? Midsummer.
It was August, but that is their winter. You are correct. And I knew that. I knew the seasons were opposite. But I still felt like my misconception was that Australia was still warm kind of all the time. And so I actually wasn't really prepared. When I arrived, it was much colder than I anticipated. I guess the actual temperature might have been like low to mid 40s. But I, again, having never been near the ocean, it was just a bone-chilling, damp cold. And houses are not like our houses here in that they don't really have, you know, like central heating systems and things like that. I was kind of freezing for the first month or so. It was not what I expected. So, but it was great.
But you lived near the ocean.
I did. And that was wonderful. I mean, I wasn't right on the ocean.
Yeah.
It was still from where I was living, it was a good 45-minute drive. But still, it was my first experience with the ocean ever. So that was really great.
So you're in South Australia, mm-hmm. Going through experience. How long before you're in school there? Was it a matter of days?
It was just... I think they gave me about a week and a half to acclimate. Mm-hmm. Obviously, school was already going on. Since it was their winter, their school year runs from early February to early December, with most of December and January off as summer vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So August, when I arrived, again, they gave me a little acclimation period. But then I was, before the end of August, I was enrolled in school. And the strange thing was, it was third quarter. It wasn't a brand new school year. I, you know, so talk about being the new kid and the new kid from a different country coming in halfway during a school year. That was pretty tough. That was a really hard adjustment for me. Not school itself, but I had lived in the same little town my whole life, had known the people I went to school with, you know, kind of growing up. So having that new experience like that and coming at not a natural time of the school year was was pretty tough. But it worked. My school was really great. I went to Banksia Park International High School, public school, and I had some really caring and compassionate teachers there who kind of helped me bridge that gap of coming in, you know, halfway through what would be my 11th grade year. They call it year 11 there. So much so, for example, one of the classes I took was a chemistry class. That was a requirement that I was missing here and that I would be missing in Wisconsin from being away, and I really needed to take chemistry so that when I got back, I'd be able to graduate. And so I was enrolled in a chemistry class. But again, chemistry, when you're entering it third quarter and snow has no idea what's going on, my chemistry teacher did tutor me after school to kind of catch me up. I would participate in the labs with my classmates and stuff, although I was really lost for a lot of it. And so then what happened was when the school year finished in December and then restarted in February, I was enrolled in that same class again, which was then kind of funny because I had been tutored so much on the first half of the class that I was getting the first half of the class again. So then I was really ahead of everybody. It was kind of strange, but it worked. That was the only, I have to say, that was kind of the only subject area that was kind of a stretch for me. Everything else, just I was able to kind of fit right in. I've always been good at math, so I was kind of able to just slide right into the math classes and English classes. And I took an Australian history class. I took an American history class when I was there.
How was that taking?
It was interesting. It was just a semester-wide class, and it was my second semester there. So by that time, I had a lot of friends, which really helped. The teacher, I will never forget her name. Her name was Mrs. Bland, and her name fit her personality.
And she's listening today. Oh, we have her on the line. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. What was really interesting about this class was we mainly were studying about the Civil War. And somehow in my education, I didn't have a real in-depth knowledge of the Civil War. So by the first week of class, she realized, oh, we have an American in the class. So anytime she would ask a question to the class, and if nobody raised their hand or nobody, you know, offered up an answer, she would immediately look to me. And I don't necessarily know the answer either. So it was just, it was pretty awkward to put me on the spot all the time. And my Australian friends at that point, they felt so bad for me. They're like, why did you sign up for this? You shouldn't have taken this class. But it was still pretty fun. And I actually talked to her about it, you know, after a few weeks of this happening, I talked to her. I'm like, hey, I'm trying to blend in here. I'm trying to be like everybody else.
It is interesting that that they were offering an American history class. I don't know if too many American high schools offer Australian history.
No, probably not. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why they, and again, it was just a semester-wide class, but the semester before, when I had first started, I took an Australian history class, which was a semester-wide. Fascinating. Loved it. Soaked it up. You know, it was just such a great, it was such a great thing for me to take. Probably one of the most enjoyable classes I ever took in high school, just because I was really interested in what I was studying and learning more about this great country. So, that was kind of a interesting thing along the way. But in spite of all of that, I actually, while I was in Australia, I did make their honor roll. So I really kept up with my studies in amongst all of the very fun things I got to experience in my year there.
Well, very good. We need to go to a break shortly, but before we do that, I want to ask, what did you gain from your experience and how has it helped you, you know, when you came back to the U.S. as a high school student and even more so today in your vocations? What did you gain from that experience and how has it been helpful?
I think what I gained, the biggest thing that I gained was confidence. I actually was pretty shy in high school. And I think that's what shocked my parents the most when I came home with this idea about going abroad, because I was pretty quiet. I was pretty shy. And this just naturally, you have to learn to be confident and you have to learn to be independent. Not that I didn't have caring host families taking care of me. Of course I did. But you gain this sort of independence at age 16 that I wouldn't have gained had I just had a normal junior year experience here in the United States. And I really think that for me, choosing to have a career in the church as a Lutheran teacher, and now continuing at Concordia, I think a lot of that confidence that I gained in myself allowed me to feel okay about taking calls all over the place, like I said at the beginning of the broadcast. I don't know if my personality prior to that honestly would have been able to handle that. And so just a confidence and an ability to, I'm obviously a people person, you know, to make friends and to make connections with people all over. That has just been such an asset to my career and to my vocation that I've chosen.
Very good. Well, I want to hear more, and I'm sure our listeners do as well. But we need to take a break. When we come back from that break, we'll also have Professor Tracy Tuffy from Concordia University, Wisconsin, join the conversation. She'll share with us more about the study abroad program at Concordia University, Wisconsin, here in a little bit. So stick around, listeners, for more as we're talking with Amy Brown from Concordia University, Wisconsin, about her study abroad experience. And we'll continue the conversation right after this.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Hiring a surrogate to provide a baby to a childless couple is chock full of ethical and legal problems. A young woman from Thailand was promised about $9,000 to provide a baby for an Australian couple. It turned out to be twins, but the baby boy had Down syndrome. The agency and doctors kept it from the woman until her seventh month of pregnancy and then asked her to abort the affected child. She was furious and emphatically said no, asking them, "Are you still humans?" The couple took the normal baby girl home and left the boy to be raised by the surrogate. She wasn't even paid all the money. So a charity in Australia raised nearly $200,000 for the boy. God is blessing his mom for doing the right thing.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
The Apostle Paul once wrote, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson. Indeed, your redemption is not in any degree the result of anything you have done. That 100% degree goes to Christ. It's all in him. I'll talk more about your All in Him God Sunday on Moments of Assurance at 9:15 a.m. right here on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO.
Reverend Dr. Matthew C. Harrison of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod recently said these words regarding the importance of the work of Concordia Historical Institute.
"When you forget your past, you forget the gospel. You become locked into your own little part of time. As you study the past and know the past and know what happened in the past, you see God at work and you see Christ."
Discover your Lutheran history at ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org.
Imagine a brand new home in an up-and-coming neighborhood for less than $650 per month. For lower than a rent payment, you get to choose your floor plan, kitchen cabinets, color decor, light fixtures, and much more. Nazareth Homes is a new housing development just 5 minutes from downtown St. Louis and all the major highways. So that means a shorter commute to work, school, the park, and of course shopping. Don't put off your dream of home ownership. Now is your time to own it. Visit nationalhousingsupport.org.
When you sing because your heart is full, anyone is welcome to join you. Sing for Joy often plays music made by professionals, but it welcomes all the world in every corner to sing along. Don't miss it.
Sundays at noon on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We've been talking with Amy Brown, Director of Graduate Teaching and Learning at Concordia University, Wisconsin, about her study abroad program and her experience as a high school student, as she had the opportunity to study abroad as a junior in high school in South Australia. And so joining us by phone now to add to the conversation, Professor Tracy Tuffy. She's Assistant Professor of Clinical Psychology, Director of the Study Abroad and Global Scholars Program, and also a Clinical Consultant in LISO Psychotherapy at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Good morning, Professor Tuffy. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being our guest this morning. That's quite a long list of duties you have there at Concordia University, Wisconsin.
It is. I've been there for, it'll be 16 years in August, so I've really been blessed with a variety of different opportunities to serve there.
Wonderful. Well, we've been talking with Amy, and Amy's still on the line with us. We've been talking about her experience in studying abroad as a high school student. I'd like to talk about study abroad programs as a college or a university student. How does a study abroad program fit into the curriculum for an undergraduate program?
Well, we offer study abroad programs for undergrad and graduate, but typically we like to see the undergrads integrating it into their four-year plan. So advising as freshmen is great. Usually sophomore and junior year works best just because it fits into some of the core curriculums that students can take while studying abroad in other countries. It also meets, we have some program outcomes that we need to have students meet. One is global citizenship, and the study abroad meets that program outcome for our students and the culture requirements.
What is, you mentioned one of the outcomes is being global citizenship. What does that really mean?
It's comprehensive, but in simple terms, it's really helping students develop a cultural understanding and an awareness of different cultures so that they can function and serve as citizens in a complex world. You know, our mission statement in Concordia is to prepare students to serve Church, Christ, and the world. And if we're going to really prepare them to serve in the world, we have to help them to become global citizens. So that that program outcome is helping students develop global citizenship.
Why do you recommend the study abroad programs? You serve as the director of the program. What is it about study abroad that you think students can really gain from that experience that would benefit them?
Well, I've been leading study abroad trips for quite a long time, and at Concordia we have 27 faculty-led short-term trips. Even in my own experience taking the students as a professor, it has a profound impact on them. It makes the world feel a little bit closer. It also increases our understanding of what a diverse world we live in, but it's also exciting to see that Christ is everywhere in the world, and you can take your discipline, whether it be nursing, psychology, business, and you see how it's similar and different in all areas of the world. It also helps you, in my opinion, grow closer and stronger in your faith as you share that, your ambassadors of that, with people all over the world.
We are talking with our friends from Concordia University, Wisconsin, about study abroad programs. We're talking with Amy Brown, Director of Graduate Teaching and Learning, and Professor Tracy Tuffy, Assistant Professor of Clinical Psychology at Concordia University, Wisconsin, and also Director of the Study Abroad and Global Scholars Programs. If you have questions today, listeners, you can give us a call or an email or a tweet, 314-821-0850 or toll-free 1-800 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us, family@kfuo.org. Or you can find me on Twitter. I'm KFUO Andy on Twitter. You can find me there as well. If you have questions today for our guests, we'd be glad to take some questions as we're discussing study abroad programs and options. Now, Tracy, you said you've led some study abroad programs, some short trips. Tell us about some of those.
I've again been able to take students to several different countries, but one of the recent trips we just got back on was we went to Slovakia, and it was a really powerful trip. The students got to learn about pre- and post-communism, and we studied the impact of war and psychology. The students also, we were taken around by two theology professors there at the University of Žilina. And I don't know how much time we have, but one of the stories that stands out in my mind was we were visiting a hospital in a nursing home, and the director of the nursing home asked if our students would be willing to visit with some of the residents that were there, in particular ones that didn't really have any family members. And we were in a room visiting an elderly woman who was actually paralyzed and bedridden, and she couldn't speak English, but it was so moving. One of our undergrad students went up to the woman, a psychology major, Rachel Ferguson, and she put her hands on this woman and just started to pray. And then the entire group started to pray with her, and everyone was brought to tears. And it was just one of those powerful moments that says Christ can connect us regardless of even different languages, different countries. It was an amazing experience.
You mentioned that you were there as well as some theology professors. How is study abroad interdisciplinary?
Well, when we're going, like typically there was another trip that I led. I always typically lead with a history professor, and we studied the psychology and history of war. So that becomes an interdisciplinary piece. We have a trip going to Greece in January where we have a theology professor coming, and he's going to talk about, you know, obviously from a theological standpoint, the impact that the Greek Empire had and how Christianity has many of its roots there. I'll talk about the psychology of their culture. We'll have a history professor who will, in addition to Dr. Sankinson, who's our theology professor, will walk us through some of the history. We have a philosophy professor who will also be joining us to talk about the different models and theories of philosophy that were born out of Greece. So it enhances a student's overall curriculum and that global understanding of the material as well as the country that we're going to. It's not just a trip where we're touring around popular tourist sites. We really want students to be immersed in that culture and learn about all of the different components.
Amy, as a student, when you were a high school student studying in Australia, what were the experiences that you had that helped you learn about the culture there?
Well, the Rotary Club there did a really good job of having some sponsored trips for us. So we went, I got to go camping in the Outback. That was a two-week exchange student trip. So I was with students from, I think, 20 different countries, and we camped in the middle of nowhere and got to tour around. But it was also the different host families that I had. I had five different host families during my year there, and they would take me around to kind of show me the different things, different mm-hmm. just what everyday Australians do. Some I also went camping with. I learned how to water ski there. With some, I took bigger trips to Melbourne, and they just did a really good job of kind of acclimating me to what culture was like there. And it happened fairly quickly as well. So I was just very blessed to go through that experience.
Did you really eat Vegemite on a regular basis?
No, I ate it once. And I did not enjoy it at all. But most of the families I stayed with did eat it, yes, on a regular basis.
That is one of the fun parts, Andy, traveling with the students, is watching the other students host them and get them to sample some of the foods in other countries. That is a fun part to watch. Yep.
I would think so. Food is such an integral part of culture. And I would imagine even from a psychology perspective, too, looking at how different cultures approach meals and food. Is that something that comes up in any of your classes, Tracy?
Oh, absolutely. We talk about the traditions and the customs in Italy. You know, they have to be prepared that it really is a family and social event, and it can take over 3 hours. In Taiwan, we had to prepare the students that it's considered culturally respectful to accept the food, and that the Taiwanese will try to feed you all day. And some of the things that the students had to try were very culturally shocking.
Just one example. One example.
There's something they call stinky tofu, and it does taste like a barnyard floor put into a deep fryer, and it smells like it too. The students were very polite and very courageous in trying to get that one down. And I can tell you it was a struggle for me, who's an adventurous eater.
So it was a cultural feast. Tracy, are there any particular sites that you recommend for specific areas of study for specific disciplines?
Absolutely. Typically, our office likes to meet with the students, and we'd like to talk to their faculty advisor to find out what it is that they're trying, what's their goals, what do they want to get out of the study abroad, how would that fit with their major. And we have affiliate universities around the world, so I've visited many of them, and I have an opportunity to guide students either to a semester abroad experience, a short-term study abroad, or even some of our mission trips. And many of them are combined. We have a mission component combined with most of our study abroad travel. So meeting with the student helps me to do a better job advising them for a good fit.
Any sites that are perhaps your favorite that you really like visiting?
Well, I like them all, but for a student that might not have traveled quite a bit, I always think Regent's University in England is always a good one for students because they speak English. London is very international. It's easy for them to navigate. And then students from that home base can travel with students from the host university to other countries relatively inexpensively. So they get their study in London, but they get exposed to a variety of different countries in UK and Europe.
If a student is, as a college student, one of the things that certainly comes up as you're planning your education is the cost of education. And I know at the time that I was in college, thinking about study abroad just really wasn't an option because I thought that the cost was, you know, just prohibitive. It wouldn't, you know, it wasn't something that I could afford. Is that the case today?
You'd be surprised how affordable it is, and I'll tell you a couple of different things. Number one, Concordia is amazing. We're one of the only universities that offers a direct, what's called a study abroad experience grant, and that can be up to $1,000 for a student, and they have to meet certain criteria. They have to have 45 Concordia credits that they've earned there, have a good GPA, no disciplinary, you know, record, but that can be applied to the cost of their trip. But we also, if we start advising them as freshmen, we can encourage them to start saving money. Mm-hmm. They don't realize oftentimes that their financial aid package, when a student gets financial aid, and they're, you know, most of our students do get financial aid, that financial aid we can take and pay that other university for you, so you're not spending any additional money. By the time you get the study abroad grant and then your tuition is applied, oftentimes students are only spending a little bit of out-of-pocket money for any sort of extra things they want to do. Several faculty that lead trips do fundraisers to help students. And then if you're going on a trip that has a mission component to it, many churches will help subsidize a member of their congregation. So it is really affordable, and that's where we try to get students to meet with our office early on so we can introduce them to that so they don't miss out on the opportunity.
Absolutely. With all those options, I think today, and it just study abroad seems to be more accessible, more affordable, perhaps because of technology and being so globally connected, we're probably more mindful of it. And so we're more intentional about finding out ways to make it work today, too, I think.
That's right. And I always tell students as freshmen, you have several birthdays coming up over the course of 4 years. You have a couple of Christmases. Let your parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles know and pick up some extra work in the summer. And I've never, ever in my 16 years at Concordia had a student say that they regret spending that money. And oftentimes I have alumni that call me and ask if they can join another trip, because they had such an amazing experience. You know, would they be allowed to come, or could they send one of their high school students along with us on a trip?
You mentioned that you have semester abroad, as well as some short-term and mission trips as well. Any that you'd like to highlight for us today?
Well, I did mention that Greece trip. Mm-hmm. But obviously, as one of the trip leaders, I'm a little bit biased to that. So to be fair, on our study abroad website, we have a list of all of the trips in one academic year that students can go on. And again, this year we have 27 short-term trips. So depending on their interest, they can take a look at that and also see if there are trips that are closed. For example, some of our OT trips are only for OT PT students, but several are open to all. And they typically are during our winter break, which is our winter session, spring break, or there's many that go over the summer. So a lot of times it depends on the student's schedule.
So it depends on the program, depends on the schedule. You mentioned OT, occupational therapy. Is
correct.
That correct? Where do the OT students go?
They tend to go to different places. They do some mission work in Costa Rica. They have done mission work in Belize along with our nursing students. There's some that we have a mission trip to Tanzania, which they go to a refugee camp for albinos, children who are disowned or were attempted to be sold by their parents to teach, to provide some medical care, some assistance. They've gone all over the world. We have some really, really incredible faculty and some amazing students who are just willing and eager to serve.
That's fascinating because, you know, the way that I pictured study abroad programs in the past, especially when back in the dark ages when I was a student, it was, you know, study abroad was really for somebody who might be studying English or maybe journalism or something like that. It didn't really include a lot of these other programs, especially professional and career programs, such as, you know, you mentioned nursing and occupational therapist and things like that, that give you opportunities to serve and do hands-on learning in cultures outside of our own.
Yeah, I mean, in education, we call that experiential learning, you know, and that's really on the front lines, immersing yourself in that area. And as Concordia grows and we're really deliberate about our mission and our outcomes, we make sure that those study abroad trips have a level of integrity, so we're including those pieces. But we do have, you know, we have students that go to Cambridge. They get to use classes and attend lectures at Cambridge University through our affiliation with the Westfield House, which is a Lutheran mm-hmm. university, again, in England. So they're studying traditional things, but on the weekends, they often engage in community service, mission-related work. It's great.
What about learning a new language, a language immersion program?
We typically have that with our students that are Spanish majors. They're required to do a semester abroad in a Spanish-speaking country, and they typically love it. Our students that take German often will spend time in Wittenberg in Germany or attend one of the trips with one of their faculty members. So we offer language immersion programs. Many of our students teach English as a second language in Asian countries, which is a really popular program we have with our education students. So, again, a variety of experience. Concordia has grown a lot. We have, in just a couple of years since I've taken over the study abroad department, we only had about 100 students participating. We're at over 300.
Wow.
So there is definitely an interest and a momentum to be international and global citizens.
And for those who are done with their undergrad programs, you mentioned there might be some graduate opportunities as well.
Our graduate nursing students are also required to do a global citizenship experience. So, for example, the trip that I just got back from in Slovakia, we had half of the students were graduate nursing students. So we incorporated visits to hospitals where they went to transplant units. We went to an OBGYN, got to interview the nurses there and the doctors working with mothers in the maternity ward. We got to meet with a plastic surgeon. So our nursing students have opportunities, graduate nursing students as well. And then there's the mission trips that they go on where they get to serve. They go throughout Mexico and they provide medical care in remote villages or to people who afford it.
How do these study abroad programs set Concordia students apart from others?
Well, I mean, obviously, Concordia is a special place in my heart. I love the fact that we're Christ-centered in all that we do. Every single one of these courses and trips offered are first and foremost Christ-centered. And then they're secondly, you know, in addition to student-centered, where we're helping students develop their mind, body, and spirit so they can serve Christ in the church and the world. That sort of servant leadership, sometimes students don't realize the potential that they have and they get out there and they're excited. So when something happens in the world for Concordia, it stands out because our students have walked on that ground. They've eaten the food. They've shared the meals. They've traveled, just like Amy said, with host families and other students. So the compassion and the desire to continue to serve and pray for them is so much different than not having that opportunity. But Concordia invests. I mean, they really invest. It's different. We support this not only through our mission, but through institutional funds to help offset the cost.
Amy, for the student who is thinking, this might be for me, or for the parents who are thinking, I don't know if I really want my son or daughter to go over to, you know, the other side of the world, what are your words of encouragement for the student or for the parents?
Take the leap of faith. Absolutely. It's just so worth it. The ramifications of me going have been so positive. I mean, all these years later, 20-some years later of having spent that year abroad, I have maintained and developed friendships from that year ever since that time. And again, as I spoke about earlier, the confidence that it has given me, as Tracy said too, that ability to see that Christ is being served anywhere in the world. You know, while my trip was not necessarily a faith-based trip, in a way it was. It was for me. I made it be so.
Mm-hmm.
And it just... It's just a once-in-a-lifetime kind of opportunity to take. So whether as a high school student or a college-age student or even a graduate after the fact and going back and helping with one of these study abroad trips, it's just so worthwhile. It's just so fulfilling.
Andy, if I could add to that,
sure.
You know, that's part of the good part about advising students and working with their parents. For example, on the Slovakia trip, I did have a parent attend. The trip that I led to Italy, I had five family members, three which were parents who attended the trip with them. Sometimes parents feel more comfortable knowing that an actual Concordia faculty member is supervising that trip and will be traveling with their student, gives them a sense of security. And oftentimes those short-term trips will lead to a student's and a parent's desire and comfort, increased comfort, in doing a semester abroad. So we can address that in a variety of ways, too.
Very good. Well, how can our listeners find out more about study abroad options at Concordia University, Wisconsin?
They can check our website. So if they go on Concordia's website, all they have to do is type in study abroad, or they can contact us at this number, 262-243-2020. And that's a direct line to the study abroad office. Again, 262-243-2020.
Well, just looking through the list myself, I mean, there are quite a few options, as you mentioned, Tracy, from the short-term trips that are faculty-led to studying at one of the affiliated foreign universities, the mission trips, the semester abroad programs, all great options. And as Amy has pointed out, the experience is just so valuable. Well, I appreciate the time that both of you have shared with us today. Our guest has been Amy Brown, Director of Graduate Teaching and Learning at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Amy, thanks for being our guest today.
You're welcome. It was great.
And also Professor Tracy Tuffy, Assistant Professor of Clinical Psychology and Director of the Study Abroad and Global Scholars Program at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Professor Tuffy, thanks for being our guest today on Faith and Family.
You're welcome, and thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And listeners, you can find out more at cuw.edu, and we'll provide a link to that as well today with today's program. So go check it out. cuw.edu. You can find out more about the Study Abroad program and the other programs at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got the Bible study. So stick around for that right here at 11 o'clock on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.